on our Wester hotline. Joining us right now is Bills tight end Dawson Knox. Dawson, it's Howard and Jeremy. Welcome to the show. Good morning, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for coming on with us. You know, we were just saying, Dawson, you know, you're going to see some fans in the stands in Miami, and sounds like the Titans will have some fans when you guys are there in October. What was your experience like? You've seen a year of a full stadium in Orchard Park, and now you experienced no fans. What was it like for you walking out of the tunnel Sunday and playing in that no fans atmosphere?
Oh, it had to be one of the weirdest experiences of my life. Because honestly, I mean, even since middle school, you know, we had at least friends and family in the stands watching. So it almost felt like, you know, a scrimmage or something, but I feel like we did a good job bringing the right energy on the sidelines. Obviously, I think we played well. You know, there's still some things to clean up, but we definitely missed.
I'm going to guess there's always energy on the sideline anyway, Dawson, but did you feel, was there a need for more talking, more energy or noise on the sideline because you didn't have any fans?
Yeah, I think there was, and I think between the coaches and the other players on the sideline, I think we just did a good job of, you know, kind of bringing our own juice, you know, just amping everybody up the way we needed to. You know, it was actually kind of fun. It almost kind of felt like college, and, you know, with guys standing up on the bleachers and banging on coolers and stuff. So it was kind of fun. It was a cool experience.
Do you guys, as an offense, Dawson, with no fans, I don't know if this works. Is it more of a detriment for the offense or defense? But are you mindful? Coaches have talked about being mindful of what they're yelling out to their players because the other team can hear everything you say. Is that an issue for the offensive players at all?
So, I mean, there have been some, you know, tweaks that we've had to make, just knowing that anything Josh says at the line can be easily heard by, you know, almost the whole defense. And I think, you know, we've done a good job kind of trying to mitigate some of those issues. And, you know, some calls had to change as the games went on. But thankfully, I think the coaches have already thought about all those little issues. And I know the TV copy of the games, you know, there'll be a few calls that anybody can hear through the TV, which we know that, you know, our opponents will be watching eventually. So thankfully, our coaches do a great job making sure all that stuff's covered.
It's like you got to learn a new language, you know. Yeah, you're saying people at home can hear it. The touchdown to John Brown, I'm not going to say what the words were in case anybody's listening to us, but you can hear everything. So how often does that stuff change in a regular year-to-year kind of thing? I mean, you might change it the second time you play a team normally?
Right, yeah. So honestly, there was still a good bit of change last year, and I think that's normal around the league. But this year, it'll probably be even more. And it's never super difficult. It's always a word that will change that has a similar meaning that we'll all be able to key into. And then we practice it all week, you know, hit it a few times during walkthroughs also. So by the time the next game comes, everybody's ready for the next, you know, specific words that we're having to change.
We're with Dawson Knox here, Bills tight end on the Wester Hotline. Hey, for you personally, Dawson, year two, as opposed to how you felt a year ago at this very moment in the first month of the season, how what are some of the differences as you get into the second season for you?
Oh, I'm just thankful for, you know, the offensive system we're running feels very similar. So I feel like Coach Daboll's done a great job kind of keeping some of the same things while adding some, you know, new twists here and there. And I'm just thankful for that foundation that I have from last year. So when it comes to the game plan, I feel like it's a lot easier to learn quicker so I can kind of progress on to some of the more complicated, you know, film studies, such as looking at safety tendencies and the way DNs rush and looking for changes in coverage right before the snap. So I can spend a little more time studying that instead of, you know, actually where I'm running to go line up and instead of the actual route I have. So I feel like the game's starting to slow down a little bit for me, which has been pretty nice.
What, looking back on it, what kind of a learning experience then was year one? Because you come out of college and the book was, this kid's talented, but he's raw. He didn't get a ton of time at the position. There was a position switch earlier, and they didn't use you a lot in the Ole Miss offense. So how, as you look back on that first year pro, how much of a learning experience was it? Did your head spin?
Yeah, honestly, my head was definitely spinning, especially through OTAs and camp. I was very thankful to have that experience. That's why I kind of, you know, felt bad for the rookies this year. They didn't have a chance to come in and do OTAs and mini camp and all those things that were so important to me. But, yeah, my head was spinning, and even as the season started, I felt like I was, you know, just playing catch-up. But I finally, you know, felt like I started to grasp the system, you know, through week five or six. But also throughout the year, I just felt like, you know, it was hard kind of learning different shifts and just knowing where to line up, and then much less, you know, knowing how to read coverage and go run my route of what Josh is looking for on the play. But I feel like this year we've had a lot more time to get on that same timing with Josh and build that chemistry some. So it's almost night and day difference than what it was last year for me.
You mentioned Josh a moment ago. I was curious, Dawson. Again, I asked you about, you know, how different you felt as opposed to a year ago. You had a year to watch Josh Allen. So the guy you saw last year and the Josh Allen you see now, granted it's only one game, but do you see any differences in Josh over the last year?
I mean, you know, the very first game he already broke 300 yards. So I think that shows everyone that he's, you know, progressing very well. And everybody's extremely excited to see what he's been able to do, you know, whether it's a practice or last game. And he's just been doing a great job leading us. He's doing a great job kind of taking what the defense gives him, whether that's a check down or a shorter ball every now and then. And then obviously, you know, just the way he performed Sunday was pretty awesome to watch, considering it was the first game in forever. So I think everybody's really excited about what he's doing.
People are excited about Diggs, too. Again, I know it's wide receiver, you're a tight end, but in terms of what you think Stephon Diggs' overall impact on the passing game can be, what would it be? What's the most important impact his presence has?
Yeah, I mean, just having a weapon like that makes the defense have to respect him. You know, he's a cold-blooded killer. Everybody loves him. He's a true competitor. He's been a great teammate to me also so far, and everybody seems to like him. But in terms of strictly football, you know, they got to respect his speed. They got to respect the deep ball now. We're going to, you know, we're planning on seeing a little bit more too high safeties, which can open up the running game a little bit. You know, hoping that might open up some of the middle of the field for me every now and then. But obviously, you know, he's just an incredible player. And when you have a guy like that on the outside, the defense has to respect him.
We're winding down our chat with Dawson. I wanted to ask you before we let you go for sure. You know, you talked about doing a little more study and safeties and all these different things in year two. Do you look at tapes of other tight ends around the National Football League to pick up any pointers, to learn anything? And if you do, are there any guys you could share with us in terms of who you like to watch?
Yeah, so typically, you know, going into a certain game week, I'll watch tight end targets, like when the ball is thrown to a tight end against the team I'll be playing. So it's not necessarily one certain tight end, but if I did have to watch one guy, my favorite to watch is George Kittle. Mm-hmm. I actually trained with him a good bit in the offseason. He lives in Nashville, so do I. Kind of got to know him a little bit, and he was actually, you know, really great at helping me learn a few things. But watching his tape is pretty incredible. He's, you know, considered probably the best tight end in the game right now. So it's really fun being able to watch him and break down some of the stuff that he does.
I didn't want to let you go without asking you about one of my favorite moments of the entire shutdown during the pandemic was you on the jet skis. So did your phone blow up? I mean, what kind of feedback, how many people did you hear from after that video went out?
Yeah, it was you could tell there were no sports on by the way my phone blew up. But it was funny. Me and my buddy, Jordan Tamu, you know, he's my college quarterback. He's playing with the Chiefs now. You know, we were just sitting there hanging out on the water. We're like, you know, it could probably go viral if we just recorded this. And we had been doing it for a while, and he made a good throw and caught it. And, yeah, it just seemed to blow up. It was funny because, you know, nobody – was watching any sports at the time, so just a little taste of football. It seemed like everybody was dying for that.
How many takes? How many times did you try that?
You know, I would love to tell you it just took one, but it was probably four or five before we finally got it. But we started getting timing down. We started getting into where it was almost every throw he was getting into me. It was fun.
You can't really stiff arm somebody else on another jet ski, can you?
Oh, that'd be dangerous.
Yeah. All right. Don't do that. Don't do that then.
Maybe. So don't work on that for next year then?
No, because then if I suggest that, and then the Bills are going to be all on my case if I get you injured. So don't do that. We never had that conversation.
All right, don't worry. I won't be stiff-arming other people on jet skis yet.
After your playing career, then do that on video.
Okay, there you go.
Well, thanks for coming on with us this morning. Have a great year, Dawson, and congratulations on the opening week win.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.